Вариант 6. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание B1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего 1-6 и утверждениями, данными в списке A-G. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей буквой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker 1. For any celebration, you have so many people to give presents to. Your mates, parents, relatives. It creates a problem of choosing an original present. I think everybody is so tired of traditional gifts. To my mind, the simplest way out is accessories. They are always different and can suit everybody. For family members, it may seem a good investment if it's expensive enough, and it may definitely help your friends look great at a party. Speaker 2.
As for me, I dislike pragmatic domestic gifts. They may be useful, of course, but when you get a present, you expect a surprise, not a new kind of washing powder. I don't understand people who are happy to get kitchen towels, cups, dishes, or anything like that. If you don't have any innovative ideas, buy some perfume or flowers. They aren't practical. They're pleasant.
Speaker 3.
Honestly speaking, I'd be glad to get a weekend camping tour, even to a local place of interest. It would be the best present. And the worst is perfume. Perfume is the ultimate in personal gifts, even more than accessories. What scent a person chooses is unique and usually very subjective. It also looks like a last-minute decision, which may seem impolite, unless you're absolutely sure in your choice, which, as I said, is a rare case.
Speaker 4.
Giving and receiving presents can be stressful. A picky person can dislike some gifts, or even worse, give them to somebody else. Horrible! So I found a perfect way out. A gift certificate. For anyone who likes shopping, it is ideal, and you don't waste time trying to find something special. But there are disadvantages about a gift certificate, too. A person may think that you just didn't want to be bothered and get offended. So it's not a universal present after all.
Speaker 5.
If you can afford it, try not to give things, but experiences as a present. It is not necessarily something very expensive. Tickets to the first night performance or to a new exhibition in an art gallery or anywhere else will do fine. It is even better if you can go there together and share these experiences. Take a camera with you and take pictures. Such a present will leave long-standing memories which are dear themselves.
Speaker 6. Living in a high-tech world, it would not be unusual to buy gadgets as a present. If your friend commutes, it can be an iPod. If your friend is very busy, an electronic organizer will be an excellent idea. There are millions of choices, and they are not expensive either. Such a present can show the person exactly how much thought you put into choosing the perfect gift, taking into account his or her way of life and needs. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker 1. For any celebration, you have so many people to give presents to. Your mates, parents, relatives. It creates a problem of choosing an original present. I think everybody is so tired of traditional gifts. To my mind, the simplest way out is accessories. They are always different and can suit everybody. For family members, it may seem a good investment if it's expensive enough, and it may definitely help your friends look great at a party. Speaker 2.
As for me, I dislike pragmatic domestic gifts. They may be useful, of course, but when you get a present, you expect a surprise. Not a new kind of washing powder. I don't understand people who are happy to get kitchen towels, cups, dishes, or anything like that. If you don't have any innovative ideas, buy some perfume or flowers. They aren't practical. They're pleasant.
Speaker 3.
Honestly speaking, I'd be glad to get a weekend camping tour. Even to a local place of interest. It would be the best present. And the worst is perfume. Perfume is the ultimate in personal gifts, even more than accessories. What scent a person chooses is unique and usually very subjective. It also looks like a last-minute decision, which may seem impolite, unless you're absolutely sure in your choice, which, as I said, is a rare case.
Speaker 4.
Giving and receiving presents can be stressful. A picky person can dislike some gifts, or even worse, give them to somebody else. Horrible! So I found a perfect way out. A gift certificate. For anyone who likes shopping, it is ideal, and you don't waste time trying to find something special. But there are disadvantages about a gift certificate, too. A person may think that you just didn't want to be bothered and get offended. So, it's not a universal present after all.
Speaker 5.
If you can afford it, try not to give things, but experiences as a present. It is not necessarily something very expensive. Tickets to the first night performance or to a new exhibition in an art gallery or anywhere else will do fine. It is even better if you can go there together and share these experiences. Take a camera with you and take pictures. Such a present will leave long-standing memories which are dear themselves.
Speaker 6. Living in a high-tech world, it would not be unusual to buy gadgets as a present. If your friend commutes, it can be an iPod. If your friend is very busy, an electronic organizer will be an excellent idea. There are millions of choices, and they are not expensive either. Such a present can show the person exactly how much thought you put into choosing the perfect gift, taking into account his or her way of life and needs. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание А1-А7. Вы услышите разговор друзей. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений А1-А7 соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Обведите номер выбранного вами ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, Peter. What are you doing here in the library? I often come to the reading room, but I have never seen you here before.
Hello, Jane. That's right. You could not have possibly seen me here. I come round to change my books or look through some journals now and then during the term time, but that is it. The end of the term is different, of course.
Why so?
Well, you know, the exams are coming, and I'm getting a bit nervous.
Have you missed many classes, then?
Not many, really. But the fact is that I did just the bare minimum, even for my major. There's a lot of information which went over my head completely. My groupmates have lent me their notes, but they are of very little use. They are really brief, as a rule, so I cannot make out a single thing of them.
So, you have missed not classes, but opportunities, if I can put it this way.
I guess you can. Do you think I will be able to catch up with the rest of the group? I doubt it. I have been using my computer much to put all the information in proper schemes and tables, but that does not seem to be helping much.
It is totally up to you. If you are determined to succeed, you will have to spend days and nights with books and your computer.
What worries me is the language course. It seems totally impossible.
Yes, that will be the most difficult one for you. You simply cannot expect to take in all the words and grammar rules in just a few nights.
Do you think I'll fail it then?
Peter, be more optimistic. If the teacher sees you have tried to do at least something, she will appreciate it, I am sure.
Thank you, Jane. You're such a good friend. How about you? Are you ready for your exams? I bet you are.
Actually, I am not so sure about literature. I think I am on the teacher's blacklist for not meeting deadlines with some of the essays.
You'll pass. Don't worry.
Well, let us hope for the best.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hello, Peter. What are you doing here in the library? I often come to the reading room, but I have never seen you here before.
Hello, Jane. That's right. You could not have possibly seen me here. I come round to change my books or look through some journals now and then during the term time, but that is it. The end of the term is different, of course.
Why so?
Well, you know, the exams are coming, and I'm getting a bit nervous.
Have you missed many classes, then?
Not many, really. But the fact is that I did just the bare minimum, even for my major. There's a lot of information which went over my head completely. My groupmates have lent me their notes, but they are of very little use. They are really brief, as a rule, so I cannot make out a single thing of them.
So, you have missed not classes, but opportunities, if I can put it this way.
I guess you can. Do you think I will be able to catch up with the rest of the group? I doubt it. I have been using my computer much to put all the information in proper schemes and tables, but that does not seem to be helping much.
It is totally up to you. If you are determined to succeed, you will have to spend days and nights with books and your computer.
What worries me is the language course. It seems totally impossible.
Yes, that will be the most difficult one for you. You simply cannot expect to take in all the words and grammar rules in just a few nights.
Do you think I'll fail it then?
Peter, be more optimistic. If the teacher sees you have tried to do at least something, she will appreciate it, I am sure.
Thank you, Jane. You're such a good friend. How about you? Are you ready for your exams? I bet you are.
Actually, I am not so sure about literature. I think I am on the teacher's blacklist for not meeting deadlines with some of the essays.
You'll pass. Don't worry.
Well, let us hope for the best.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задання А8-А14. Ви услышите інтерв'ю. В заданиях А8-А14 обведите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
With us in the studio today, we have the owner of famous British vintage inns. Good afternoon, Mr. Mitchell.
Good afternoon, but please call me Michael.
So, Michael, what is so special about vintage inns for Englishmen or tourists?
I must say, one of our greatest advantages is that we are in really prime places. Imagine a summer's day. A river gently flowing past as you enjoy a light lunch or an evening meal with friends. Or maybe it is winter and you sit in front of a log fire. Our inns are always in a quaint village in the heart of the English countryside, which makes it attractive for both nostalgic British people and enthusiastic tourists.
As I understand, most of your inns have their own gardens.
Yes, it is certainly true. They are every bit as pleasant as the places the inns are in, ideal for a meal in fine weather, which is, of course, seasonal.
Still, competition is high in your sphere. Being not so close to centers of big cities, what do you do to make sure people will drive specially to you?
Actually, I do nothing special to attract potential customers. You see, I do not have to. As the inns are generally located in places worth visiting, and many are close to enchanting walks. Very often, there is a vintage inn close to a stately home, or a historic village, or another tourist attraction. What could be a better way to spend a day off with your family? Even London pubs cannot offer this.
Any chain store risks becoming boring for clients, as they all look exactly the same. What do you think about this opinion?
I'd like to say that every vintage inn is different, but they are all the same. All our inns will definitely offer the same high-quality menu and standards of service. All our landlords and ladies share the same passion for getting it right. However, each vintage inn has its own unique character. You will discover thatched roofs, soft, natural slate, buildings of hewn stone. There are Tudor, Georgian, Victorian, and many more styles of architecture, including modern ones.
What about food in vintage inns?
What we offer is best described as leaning towards traditional home-style cooking, but with a contemporary twist. Still, we do allow the best of great food from around the world to add a little influence on what we do. Many of our dishes are our own creation, and all dishes are designed to look tempting and great on the plate.
Is there a difference between an afternoon menu and an evening one?
Well, on working days at lunchtime, you can choose anything from a range of sandwiches to full three-course meals. Our evening meals also offer lighter choices, but includes fish, chicken, pasta, salads, steaks, and pies, too. On Sundays, we include a choice of traditional roasts and puddings.
What is your booking policy? You must have a long line of people wishing to visit your places.
I know many people prefer to book for their Friday dinner well beforehand. Nevertheless, in fact, at vintage inns, you cannot book. That is because we are always ready to welcome you 7 days a week. Just turn up and we will make you feel welcome, even if you choose to come at the busiest time. As soon as a table is vacant, you can have it.
Thank you, Michael.
Pleasure. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again.
With us in the studio today, we have the owner of famous British vintage inns. Good afternoon, Mr. Mitchell.
Good afternoon, but please call me Michael.
So, Michael, what is so special about vintage inns for Englishmen or tourists?
I must say, one of our greatest advantages is that we are in really prime places. Imagine a summer's day, a river gently flowing past as you enjoy a light lunch or an evening meal with friends. Or maybe it is winter and you sit in front of a log fire. Our inns are always in a quaint village in the heart of the English countryside, which makes it attractive for both nostalgic British people and enthusiastic tourists.
As I understand, most of your inns have their own gardens.
Yes, it is certainly true. They are every bit as pleasant as the places the inns are in, ideal for a meal in fine weather, which is, of course, seasonal.
Still, competition is high in your sphere. Being not so close to centers of big cities, what do you do to make sure people will drive specially to you?
Actually, I do nothing special to attract potential customers. You see, I do not have to, as the inns are generally located in places worth visiting, and many are close to enchanting walks. Very often, there is a vintage inn close to a stately home, or a historic village, or another tourist attraction. What could be a better way to spend a day off with your family? Even London pubs cannot offer this.
Any chain store risks becoming boring for clients, as they all look exactly the same. What do you think about this opinion?
I'd like to say that every vintage inn is different, but they are all the same. All our inns will definitely offer the same high-quality menu and standards of service. All our landlords and ladies share the same passion for getting it right. However, each vintage inn has its own unique character. You will discover thatched roofs, soft, natural slate, buildings of hewn stone. There are Tudor, Georgian, Victorian, and many more styles of architecture, including modern ones.
What about food in vintage inns?
What we offer is best described as leaning towards traditional home-style cooking, but with a contemporary twist. Still, we do allow the best of great food from around the world to add a little influence on what we do. Many of our dishes are our own creation, and all dishes are designed to look tempting and great on the plate.
Is there a difference between an afternoon menu and an evening one?
Well, on working days at lunchtime, you can choose anything from a range of sandwiches to full three-course meals. Our evening meals also offer lighter choices, but includes fish, chicken, pasta, salads, steaks, and pies, too. On Sundays, we include a choice of traditional roasts and puddings.
What is your booking policy? You must have a long line of people wishing to visit your places.
I know many people prefer to book for their Friday dinner well beforehand. Nevertheless, in fact, at vintage inns, you cannot book. That is because we are always ready to welcome you 7 days a week. Just turn up and we will make you feel welcome, even if you choose to come at the busiest time. As soon as a table is vacant, you can have it.
Thank you, Michael.
Pleasure. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.